Now, I have another introductory matter that we must consider, and it's always been a very mooted question, and that is, who is the human author of the Epistle to the Hebrews? If you are acquainted with the literature of the Scripture, you recognize that there's been no unanimity of thought and no agreement as to who is the author. I wrote a thesis when I was in seminary as a seminary student because this problem interests me. In fact, it enthralled me, and I spent time with it. And I wrote a thesis on the authorship of the Hebrews, and I attempted to sustain the thesis that Paul, the apostle, is the author. Now, I'm not going into all of that technical and scholarly background because it becomes a little tedious and tiresome to those listening on radio who are not really concerned about that. And after all, the human author is unimportant. The important thing is this is part of the inspired Word of God. But if you're interested in it, I am taking this thesis that I wrote as a seminary student, and I've made a very few changes in it. In fact, practically none. I have included some up-to-date material, but you're going to read what a dogmatic, green seminary student would write. Now, I take a very dogmatic position there, which, very candidly, I would not attempt to take today, other than I may not be as dogmatic, but I still believe Paul is the author. Now, to pass this off in a light vein, let me say this. I believe Paul was the author. I have a thesis on it. We put it now in print, and you can have a copy of it, but you'll have to ask for it. And if you want it, we'd be delighted to send it to you. Now, if you want a reason why I believe Paul wrote it, this is not in the thesis, but here is a reason. If Paul did not write the epistle to the Hebrews, it would mean that he only wrote 13 epistles. And do you think he would have stopped at that unlucky number? Well, I don't. I think he wrote Hebrews, and that would make 14. So we're going to let it go in that light vein today, and hopefully, if you want to pursue this, we'll send you the thesis. Now, when I wrote that thesis as a seminary student, I thought I had solved the problem and that the world would be in agreement that Paul wrote Hebrews. But I find out that today there's just as much disagreement before I wrote the thesis. But if you would like to know our presentation, we'll send that to you. I believe that he wrote it. I recognize that John Calvin didn't accept it, Martin Luther did not accept it, and many others of the past did not. But on the other side, a great many others did. Regardless who the human author is, it would make no difference. The important thing is it's part of the inspired Word of God. And I believe that there is good and sufficient reason for Paul changing his style and for not giving us his name in the epistle. We'll have occasion to call attention to that as we go along. Now, there's another introductory matter that I think I ought to mention. When was it written? Somebody says, why is that so important? Well, it's very important in this sense. There have been many, even sound scholars, that have taken the position that it was written after 70 A.D. Some give the date 85 or 86 A.D., others up in the 90s. If you read the epistle, I think that you have to come to the conclusion that the temple at Jerusalem was still standing when Paul wrote this epistle. Of course, that means it had to be written before 70 A.D. because Titus, the Roman, destroyed the temple in 70 A.D. And Paul had already gone to be with the Lord. As he said, he'd finished his course and he had already turned in his report. So that if Paul wrote it, which we believe, it had to be written before 70 A.D. Now, let me say something relative to the epistle that may place it in your mind on a very high plane. We'd like for it to be that. Coleridge said that Romans reveal the necessity of the Christian faith, but that Hebrews reveal the superiority of the Christian faith. That thought will run all the way through this epistle. The comparative adjective better is used 13 times in this epistle. You have here that statement, which I think is very important. The fact of the matter, it would be like this. Paul is saying, and probably I ought not to be so dogmatic as to say Paul says, let's say that the epistle to the Hebrews says that the law was good, and that now, under Christ, under grace, it's better. But that glory is coming, and that's going to be the best. So what you have in the epistle to the Hebrews is that which is better. And the word perfect occurs 15 times with cognate words, of course. And then it is an epistle that challenges us. You'll find in it, let us. That occurs 13 times. In fact, this is an epistle that contains the meat of the word, but it also has a salad that goes with it. Let us. And then the word let occurs 5 times. And I think that there are 2 verses that convey to us this better way. In Hebrews 3:1, the writer says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. We're to consider him. And then again, in Hebrews 12:3, the challenge is given to us, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Friends, for the next few weeks, we are going to consider him. Because that's what we're told to do here, consider him. And I'm convinced that that is the most important thing that any Christian can do.